So the scripture reading, I'll read it for you again, is found in 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become righteousness of God in him. I'm reminded of a story of where a woman who was a true sinner was so impressed to come to Jesus that she took her alabaster box that she used for her profession to break over Jesus' head and anoint his head and his feet out of love for him. She used this fragrance, and as she broke the box, it says the fragrance filled the room. Now, I don't know if you've ever broken an expensive bottle of cologne. I remember I was living in New York City, and I had bought an expensive bottle of cologne, and, you know, they come in glass. So I remember I was using it. I sprayed myself, but I was in a rush. So as I was in a rush, I was walking away, and I accidentally smacked it off the counter. When I smacked it off the counter, it smashed on the floor. For at least 2 months, my room smelled like Dolce & Gabbana cologne. So it was always a reminder to me of the broken bottle that I broke on the floor. And as I say this, when the people around this woman and Jesus saw that she had broke this box over Jesus, they became offended. They became offended because they said, listen, this is a good box of perfume, and we can use it to sell it to make money. Why would she break it over Jesus' head and try to anoint his feet? The truth of the matter is, they could only see the value. They could only see the value in the box when it was whole. But the truth of the matter is, when Jesus looks at us, he sees the value in us when we are broken, ladies and gentlemen. He sees our value when we are broken. Are you with me? If she had not broken the jar, the fragrance would have never came out of the bottle, and it wouldn't have never filled the room. See, people see the value while it's whole, but Jesus sees the value in us when our lives are broken. Many of us today here see life or value when we are whole, but the truth is God appreciates it when we are broken. I want to talk to you today about Jesus. You see, John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The old nature, our old nature, must pass away. Are you with me? Our old nature must pass away. If we want to inherit the things that God has for us, he puts in us new motives, new tastes, and new tendencies. You see, the one who was begotten by the Holy Spirit had become partakers of the divine nature of God in their habits, in their practices, and that will give evidence to their relationship with Christ. Ellen White says, men who claim to be Christians retain all their natural defects of character and disposition. And what does their disposition differ from the world? See, if we are not different from the world and are in Christ, then it's going to reflect how we show others to Christ. Amen? If we're reflecting other things, it will show. If we want to reflect Christ, it'll show. It says, they do not appreciate the truth as a sanctifier and a refiner. You see, Jesus had come. He had come for our atonement. And atonement means at-one-ment with God. That means that God was in Christ reconciling himself to the world. God sent Jesus into this world to fix, to reconnect, to make whole again that which was broken, ladies and gentlemen, at-one-ment. Is that, and that's what that means, that Christ came to reconcile us back to him. And you know, on a day like today, when we're all dressed up and we smell pretty and we look nice and we're all dressed up, it's hard to hear about brokenness. It's hard to hear about the things in our hearts or in our lives that's broken. But the truth of the matter is today here, ladies and gentlemen, we are broken. And that is why Jesus has come. That's why Jesus has to come to reconcile us back to God, because we, ladies and gentlemen, are broken. Psalms 119:53 says, indignation, has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. One biblical scholar says, a proper fear of God is when his people trust in him and abide in his love. You see, some seem to think that if a man has a wholesome fear of God, that is proof that he is destitute of faith. But this is not true. You see, a proper fear of God works peaceable fruits of righteousness, and it causes the trembling soul to flee to Jesus, not from Jesus. And many ought to have this spirit today. I remember one time I was in high school and I was ready to receive an award. And you know, when awards come, you know, you want to look your best. You certainly don't want to trip up the stairs or down them when you're coming to get the award. And I remember sitting in the pews as the day came, because they call you up and sit you in sections and rows as we're sitting here today. And I began to sit in the chair and think, you know, the award that I'm up for, many people have the same qualifications. They have the same, you know, attributes or good grades that I have. You know, what would I do if I won the award? What would I say if I won the award? And see, these emotions began to boil up in me as I'm sitting there waiting for the award to be presented by the principal. And as I'm sitting there waiting for the principal to announce the last award, you know, they go through the minor awards and, you know, it's coming up and I'm like, okay, I'm getting ready. And so the thoughts begin to come more. Lord, what will I do? What will I say? What will happen when I get this award? And as I sat there, the principal finally came up for the final award. And he says, okay, Alex, so-and-so, come up to the stage. And you stand behind him as he's giving this spiel about what, you know, what each candidate has gone through. And finally, he announces the award. And he says, so the winner of the award goes to Aris Burgess. And I remember sitting there the whole time saying, how in the world did this man or this young boy get this award when I'm more qualified, when I've done more, when I can, you know, when I've exemplified more? But the truth of the matter is, I give you that illustration to show you that as people, we have inner turmoil in which we juggle with too. Am I correct? Amen. We juggle with things underneath the skin of our lives. We juggle with this turmoil. The point that I want to make is that there's turmoil underneath this flesh that we live in. And we must understand that it's underneath the skin where life is truly lived. You see, God sent Jesus into the world to make whole again that which was broken in us. You see, the Latin term for why Jesus came was called, is termed curdus homo, which really means why God had to become man. You see, understand that this expression in Latin talks about why Jesus had to come as a man. Jesus Christ, who walked the dusty shores of Palestine, he was a man. God sent his son into the world to make that which make us whole again because we were broken. Amen? And understand that Satan sees, when we start to become like Christ, he sees Christ's character manifested in us. And he doesn't like that. So he throws hurdles our way. He throws things our way to distract us. But we have to be ready for when he throws those distractions in us. That is why we must have God's righteousness, his Holy Spirit in us. So that way, when those trials come, we can do as Jesus did. Do we remember what Jesus did when he was thrown into the wilderness? He prayed, get thee behind me, Satan. We have to have that same strength to say, when these things come, get thee behind me, Satan, because God can be victorious in your life today. Amen? You see, Satan has charged upon God's the attribute he himself possessed. Not in Christ, he saw God revealed in true character. And this is why he tempted Jesus, because he saw God in Jesus. Amen? He saw Christ. He saw him and he tried to do everything to move him away. Oh, I will turn these loaves, I'll turn these rocks to loaves. Will you take them? Jesus never failed in his response. Every time Satan threw something at Jesus, he responded with the gospel. And that's how we must become today. You see, we must understand our condition, ladies and gentlemen. And the truth of the matter is, no matter how good I am, no matter how good you see me, Christ is the one who you have to see. I am no good. Amen? Isaiah 64:6 says, we are as filthy rags. Amen? We are no good. And this is why Christ must come in our lives. Amen? You see, I understand that on a day like today, on a beautiful Sabbath day, the majority of men and the mass of unfaithful Christians live a life of quiet desperation. You see, we must come to know to look nice on the outside, and we all look nice today. But the truth of the matter is, the issue is on the inner chambers of our hearts. You see, we are burdened, ladies and gentlemen, today with turmoil, unrest, worry, and fear. And the fact of the matter is, the more that I look at it, the more I realize that we are broken. Are you with me today? We are broken. You see, so many of us are embedded in our brokenness that we start to believe that our brokenness is supposed to be a part of our life. But that's not true, is it? Because we have a righteous Savior, and he never planned for us to live broken lives. Are you with me? He never considered us to live broken lives. But day in and day out, we have to deal with brokenness. Are you with me today? It is unfortunate that people have just come to accept brokenness in their lives. I know that this is a difficult subject to speak about. And the truth is that God intends to do something, ladies and gentlemen, with our brokenness. Do you believe that today? He's going to do something with our brokenness. Even though we may not be broken, or we may feel that we're not broken, ladies and gentlemen, brokenness is all around us. This world is broken. Lives are broken. Even bonds in this church are broken. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is we're broken. But I say to you today, thank God for Jesus. Because Jesus was sent here to fix, to reconnect, to make whole again that which was broken. We look at today's life and we look at the activities of the world, and we realize today that this world is messed up. And we need Jesus to come more than ever before. You see, we don't even have comfort. We don't even have comfort and driving down the highway, not knowing what calamity, not knowing what things we will face driving down the highway. I have never seen a world like this before growing up. It is a sign to me, and I hope that it's a sign to you, that Jesus is coming. And if we are not ready, if we do not have His Holy Spirit, if we are not thinking on the things that please God, we will miss the whole boat. We will miss the whole boat, ladies and gentlemen. And the truth of the matter is, my Bible tells me that Jesus doesn't wish for any of us here today in this world to perish. He doesn't wish for any of us to be lost. But the truth of the matter is, He gave us a choice to make. He loves us. He wants to reconnect us. But the truth of the matter is, it has to be our choice. You see, we have to come to realize our state and our condition. And the truth of the matter is, again, we're broken. You see, but God has something to offer us here today. You know, and I want to hinge on another thing. A lot of times in the olden days, when the church was first being built, you see, you wouldn't catch Christians doing some of the things that they do today. You wouldn't catch Christians arguing and fighting or bickering, doing those things, because they were too focused on being connected with Jesus. They were focused on being connected with God, because they wanted their Christian movement to mean something and to move forward. Amen? You see, do you hear me this morning? You see, even our ministries are broken because we have to learn to put our trust in Jesus. Jesus came because there was something that was wrong and broken at the very center of our existence. You see, 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation," it says, "and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which was laid, which was in Christ Jesus." You see, our biblical writer proclaims the Lord will give divine culture to those who are laborers together with him. To be laborers together with God is a beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen. You see, in our day, there has been such a cheapening, such a shallow pronunciation of the riches of God's grace. You see, if one would give full ear to the characters that are on the TV today, to the biblical speakers and preachers of today on TV, you would come away thinking that God came to this earth to get us a house, a car, a lot of money, and a job. But I have come to shock all thoughts and beliefs of that today, because Christ never came for our creature comforts, nor our earthly wants. He came to save us from this broken world. Amen? That's what Jesus Christ came for. Our material successes, God is not interested in. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation," or a new creature. "Old things, ladies and gentlemen, have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Jesus came because there was something seriously wrong at the center. Not the side, not the other side, but at the center of our existence, ladies and gentlemen. And we had not the strength within us, understand, nor the means, nor the resources to fix what was broken or what is broken in us. That's why John 3:16 says God sent Jesus into the world to bring back a right relationship with him. You see, once that relationship has been established, then a proper perspective comes into view. But we must first get right with God. Amen? We have to get right with God because Satan sees necessary that when we want to strive to get better with God, that we want to get a right relationship with God, he wants to pull that connection away. And we have to be very aware of that. We have to be very cognizant that he wants to remove us away from God, because that way he can sneak in and deceive us even more. Amen? He will. We have to be on point. And that's why Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." Amen? We have to get right with God, and we have to get straight with God. And that is why Jesus came. And I suppose you would ask me today, Elder Andrews, are we really that bad? Are we really that far off that we're not that close with God? In one word, yes. No matter how much I come to church, no matter how much I come to prayer service, no matter how much I am devoted to God, I still must understand that this life that I live, this body that I'm in, I am a broken human being, and the only one that can fix me, who can mend me, who can get me back together is God. He is the only one. And I know today many of us, in our families, in our marriages, in our relationships with our mothers and fathers, are broken. And we don't know the first step and how to fix that. Am I telling the truth today?
Amen.
We don't know how to fix it. We've done everything we can to try and fix what is broken in our families and in our lives. And the more we try to fix it, the worse it gets. We have not the answers, ladies and gentlemen. There's only one. There's only one who has the answer, and that is Jesus. He is the one who can, if we speak to him, he can rectify our situation. We live in a day and age where people like to acknowledge negative behaviors as a good thing, and positive behaviors as a person being weak. I remember reading in the Times Magazine, there was a lady who lives in Houston. And she said, "You know, I love my church. I love my church so much. And you know why I love my church so much?
because I no never have to hear the word sin. You see, the problem in that is that the pastor, if he's not teaching her about sin in her life, he's not really telling her about her condition in her life. You see, we have to understand our condition. And our condition, ladies and gentlemen, again, is broken. It says in 1 John 5:17 that and the whole world, excuse me, Isaiah 30:1 says, "Woe to the rebellious children who execute a plan that is not mine and make an alliance not of my spirit in order to add sin to sin that is called wrongdoing." Micah 6:7 says, "Shall I give my firstborn for transgression?" God never expected us to do anything that is not likened to him. But I have good news today, ladies and gentlemen. Although our human condition is worse, and it gets worse as we live on in this life, and we know that we need deliverance, God has not alienated us from him. God still has us ready to be put together with him. You see, but what troubles us is not on the external. What troubles us is not on the outside of us. It's not peripheral for us, to us. It's in us. You see, what's wrong with us is that our very center of our being, it is broken. Our intellect and our desire is broken. Hearts are troubled and we are in need of help. Amen? The very center of our intellect and will and desire is what's broken. And that is why we need a right relationship with God. And our refusal to understand this and to know our condition as being sick, it leaves us desperate, and our plight is without Jesus. Our very nature is destitute without Jesus. We come longing for the right, leaning to the left. And with no progression, our condition gets worse. If we don't seek Jesus, our condition gets worse. It's almost like, for those who cook in here, have you ever peeled an onion? The more onion you peel, and the more onion you pull back, the more what? The more what you find. The more onion you find. And that's what Christian experience is about. God teaching us what our brokenness is, and as he continues to peel back the onion, peel back the layers, we have to recognize what God wants us to, well, how we can be fixed in Christ. The more he peels back, we have to say, "Oh God, this is the issue with me. Help me to fix it. How do I fix it? When do I fix it?" You see, that's what God does for us. The more he reveals to us, the more we see, "My Lord, I need God in my life because I am truly, truly broken." Today, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to know that although our plight may be different, and although we have these things that go on in our lives from day to day that hinder us, that make us feel like we may not be that close to God, the truth of the matter is, when you surrender your will and this heart, you see, the Hebrews talked about this heart, and they said this heart can be fixed, this heart can be mended, but it has to deal with our Savior first. Amen. When I was young, I didn't know too much from right and wrong. I wasn't too familiar with it. I just did what I thought was right. And a lot of times when we do that, we find ourselves battling between black and white, what's good and what's bad. But the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that there are a lot of gray areas in our lives. There are a lot of gray areas that need attention, that need fixing, and only God can do that. Are you with me? Again, we are all broken. And sometimes our stuff gets raggedy. I'm just being honest today. Sometimes our life becomes so raggedy that we don't even know how to fix it. And that's when we have to really turn to God. And maybe I'm only talking to me today, and that's fine. But the truth of the matter is, this life gets messy. And if we have no control, if we have no relationship with God, it gets worse. And it gets worse. And you find yourself so far away that you begin to say, "God, how can I get better? Or how can I reconcile my relationship with you?" You see, but God is not satisfied in our brokenness. You see, and that's why I love our God, because he wants to fix us. Although we don't want fixing, he still wants to fix us. And he always pulls and prompts us to come to him. No matter how bad we are, no matter how we lived when we were younger, no matter how we were, he loves us. And you know what's funny about our Bible? It tells us that while we were yet sinners, and that says something to me there, because while we were yet sinners, he still loved me. There are times that I don't even know, and when I'm doing good to somebody, if they really love me that much. But it says, while I was yet a sinner, God loved me. He came and made the first movement towards me. Although he hates sin with a passion and he doesn't like it, he still loved me enough to want to draw me to him. That's a mighty God that we serve.
Amen.
That is a mighty God that we serve. To be a sinner and to be in our condition, but still love us. Only a God can do that. So I thank God for Jesus today, because we need somebody who can meet us where we are and lift us up from where we are, where we not ought to be. So lift us up from our broken condition and try to fix us. And I remember Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. Jonathan had passed away with his father in war, and when he passed away, David said, "You know, I made a covenant with him, that if anything was to happen to either one of us, I would take care of his family." And he found Mephibosheth in Lo-Debar. He ushered him in. In his brokenness, he was handicapped from the legs. In his brokenness, David brought him to his table and fed him and treated him as if he was his family. And I leave that with you today to say this. God, Jesus, although we are broken, although we are not worthy of anything he has to offer us, he still brings us to welcome him at his table. He brings us there to sup with him, to fix us, and to help us understand how he can make us whole again. I don't know of anybody here today. Like I said, there's a lot of new faces and a lot of familiar faces. And I was told a long time ago that when we do sermons, and that when we give a sermon, we should always give somebody the opportunity to give their life to Christ. We should always give somebody the opportunity to reconcile their life with Christ. I don't know your condition today, and if you begin to even start to tell me about your condition, you might bog me down. But there is a God whose burden is easy and his yoke is light. And he is willing to take on the cares of the world as he did before to rectify whatever's going on in your very life. I speak to you not because I've read a Bible or because I know a story. I am speaking to you from experience myself. There is brokenness in this world. There is brokenness in our relationships. And if we do not be aware of it and take heed to it and ask God for guidance, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how many times you come to church, if you don't have a relationship, a right relationship with God, where will you be? I'll let you answer that question today. If you're not in right standings with God, where do you think you would be? He wishes that none of us perish. He knows we're broken. He knows where we're going to understand. He's run this race already. That's what Paul tells me. Amen. He's run this race already. He knows what's going to happen in my life before I know what's going to happen. And my wife and I were doing devotion the other day, and she said, "You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans." And that's the truth. We can't tell God our plans because he already knows them.
Amen.
If you are willing, I don't know who the pastor is here, and I'm not the one to make the call. But if you feel in your heart that you haven't been baptized and you would like to grow closer with Christ, I ask that when your pastor is here or the leaders of this church are here, you know, that you would write your name and just start off with Bible studies. That's how I started off. I started off with just Bible studies. And look at me here today, speaking in front of a crowd. I would never imagine that. But God can do wonderful things when you allow him to lead you. He wants to fix the brokenness in us. And understand, I come from humble beginnings. I was born, my mother left me at two. I was raised with my grandmother. It was a hard life for me. Living in New York City, I may look polished up now, and that's, I give more, all the credit to God first and my wife. They're the ones who made me look this way. But the reason I understand things that are going on in this world or issues that people may be dealing with is because as a young man, I was broken, and I had to recognize that in myself. I had to realize my brokenness. So when we begin to realize our brokenness and the need for somebody who can fix it, God can do great things. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. I just want to say, I know it's been a long time since I've been here. But thank you and thank God for our gathering here today. It's a pleasure to see all of you. Like I said, I haven't seen you in a while. I hope that everything is well. I know that you guys have suffered loss as well, with deaths in the church and things of that nature. Just know that I'm praying for you. My family is praying for you. And God bless you. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to close out with a prayer. Dear gracious and kind Heavenly Father, I just thank you for speaking to us today, dear Lord, about our condition and our brokenness, dear Lord, and it is real. You know, Father, we come here and, you know, we deal with many issues in life that we have no answers to. We try to figure out maybe what the answers are, dear Lord, but we don't know. So, dear Lord, we come today first and foremost asking for forgiveness. And, dear Lord, also asking for your Holy Spirit to fall afresh on us today. Father, reveal to us the things that have hindered us so long in our lives, the things that hinder us from growing even closer with you, Father. It can be a wrong relationship, an issue that we had with someone. It could be any amount of things, dear Lord, but I ask that your Holy Spirit would work through us, fix us, dear Lord, and help us to grow closer with you. Father, we see times are winding up. We know that your second coming is soon, and you have your angels on the four corners of the earth holding back the winds, dear Lord, because you love us that much that you want us to make it right and get right with you, dear Lord. Help us. Help us to understand the sincerity and the seriousness of this time. Help us, dear Lord, to not come to church just to come to church. Help us to come to church, dear Lord, to grow closer with you and to also reach souls, Father, because that is truly what this is about. Thank you again for being so merciful, so loving, and so kind that you would grant and bestow your mercies upon us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, and thank you, Father, for wanting to reconcile us back to you while we were still yet sinners. Thank you, dear Lord, for this time. Bless all who have come. If any visitors have come here today, Father, waning and wanting for you, may you, Father, and your Holy Spirit attend to them and arrest their attention today, Father. Bless this church, all the parishioners and the leaders here today. Father, we thank you and we ask these prayers in your name. Amen.
Amen.